We're looking tonight at these verses in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 to 22, where in a book where it has been emphasized over and again that the Lord Jesus Christ is better than the angels, better than Moses, better than the high priests of the Old Testament, better than the Old Testament sacrifices. Jesus, better, supreme, sufficient. Now, in this passage, we are reminded God does not leave us to live the Christian life in 2017 on our own. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't save us from our sins and then say to us, well, now you're on your own. For 2017, just do the best you can. No, God saves us, and these words remind us, God equips and empowers us. This good news. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, this God, the God of peace, may he make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I've written to you in few words. You see, the goal that the writer is aiming towards, that God, for this year ahead, will make you complete in every good work to do his will. That's the blessing which the author of Hebrews is pronouncing on his original congregation and pronouncing on us tonight. It's God who equips us. It's God who empowers us, who leads us to live the life that he's called to live for him in this year ahead. God graciously equips his people to do his will. Which means tonight, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then what you will need for the year ahead, God will supply those resources to do his will, what he's called you to do, to serve him. This is an incredibly important and encouraging thing. God equipping, God empowering us for the year ahead. In this last year, some of us in a reading group read Augustine's Confessions. And one of his prayers is a prayer when he says to God, command what you will and give what you command. Augustine saying, Lord, you can tell me to do anything you want, as long as you will then equip and empower me to do it. Don't tell me to do something and then withhold from me that equipping and empowering that I need to do it. Augustine is acknowledging that he's got a fickle heart. Sometimes we want to do things our way. So he's saying, Lord, when you command me to do something, equip me, empower me, give me the grace, work by your Holy Spirit in my life, that I will do it your way. Now that's the blessing that the author of Hebrews under the Holy Spirit is speaking about here. He's saying God has called you, if you're a Christian, to live for him in 2017. But not in your own strength. He's the one who will equip you and empower you to do it. And that's the foundation we need for a year ahead. Five things in this passage that show us God equipping and empowering his people to live for him. Five words all beginning with the letter P. I want us to look at the peace of God, the power of God, the providence of God, the propitiation of God, and the preaching of the word of God. So five things beginning with the letter P. And the first is the peace of God. You notice what he says here, now may the God of peace. Now, the Apostle Paul, in his letters, likes to speak about the God of peace. It's one of the reasons I think the author of Hebrews either had to be Paul himself or someone in Paul's missionary circle. Because the theology of Hebrews is exactly the same, it's carbon copy, as that of Paul's. Over again in this epistle, you'll see ideas that are very similar to the things you read in the epistles of the Apostle Paul. sometimes put in a slightly different way. But I don't want to miss the blessing here that a Christian can call God the God of peace. Now, the Old Testament reminds us the Lord is the Lord of hosts. He's the God of armies. As a Christian tonight, you're glad that God doesn't march out in battle against you. If he did, we would lose. The Bible tells us in our sins, we are enemies against God. At enmity against him, we deserve to have our sins judged. But says the Bible, at the right time, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for the ungodly, so that we tonight, by faith in Jesus Christ, are no longer under his wrath, no longer enemies, but brought into his family, into friendship with him, fellowship through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of peace. The Lord of hosts, the God of armies, has become for us in Jesus Christ the God of peace. That's good news. And it's the foundation for Christian living. It is very important we get this for the year ahead. We do not go where we go in the Christian life in order to get God to be at peace with us. We do not live that way in order to get God somehow to be at peace. No, we do what we do, we live as we live, because God is already at peace with us, at peace with us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many Christians struggle with getting that. Many people are propelled to live the Christian life trying to get God to be at peace with them. But the good news here, if you're trusting in Jesus Christ, the Savior who is fully and freely offered in the gospel, is that through faith in Jesus Christ, God is already at peace with you. That foundation to live the Christian life. You come tonight as a Christian to the God of peace. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the peace of God, secondly, the power of God. What power will empower you to live the Christian life for the year ahead? The writer here talks about the power of God by the Holy Spirit in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That power, the power of the resurrection by the Holy Spirit, will be at work in you to live the Christian life, he's saying. The same power by which the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that power given to you to equip you, to empower you to live for God. That's a very Pauline idea. Many, many passages in the New Testament we could turn to which speak about the same thing. Let me just give you one. Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit within you, then he says, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. It's the same idea. God equipping, God empowering by the Spirit, the believer. So the Bible is talking about the power of God being at work in you, to give you new life and to live out that new life. And that's what the author to the Hebrews is drawing our attention to here. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, make you complete in every good work to do his will. How many times is the resurrection mentioned in the book of Hebrews? If you wanted to read the book through, you could read it through. I think you would find the resurrection is mentioned once here. The writer has waited till the end of the epistle, holding back this great truth, as it were, to encourage his hearers and readers at the end of his letter. Dear Christian, he's saying, the power of the resurrection, the power by which Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, is at work in you, by the pleasure of God the Father, and by the power and the application of the Holy Spirit, then, you live now the Christian life. That's how God equips you for every good work. The peace of God, the power of God. Thirdly, the providence of God. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great... Now, if you've read through the book of Hebrews, you might expect that what he would say next would be, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great high priest. Now that truth is often emphasized in this letter. No earthly priesthood now. We have a great high priest at the throne of God who made once for all a sacrifice for sin. But that's not what he says. Not the great high priest, but that great shepherd of the sheep. That's so important because it emphasizes Jesus' providence, his care, his watchful care for his sheep. He is the good shepherd. Jesus says in John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Of course, Psalm 23 reminds us of God's shepherding providence over his people. You are never in the valley of the shadow of death without God being there for you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And that's what the writer is reminding you here. Your great shepherd, by virtue of his resurrection, is alive. And he watches over you all the time. He will watch over you all the way through 2017. Doesn't call you to live the Christian life on your own. He empowers you, he equips you, and he watches over you with a guardian care. That's a great theme of the New Testament. In the Great Commission, Jesus says to the disciples, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, what? And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The promised presence and providence of the great shepherd. Or in this letter, Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The great shepherd of the sheep watches over his people as he equips and empowers them to live the Christian life. And just as then, so now, Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, watching over his little flock, guarding them, guiding them, leading them. That's what we need for the year ahead. It's all unknown to us. People are wondering, what is going to happen in 2017? New president in America, due to be inaugurated. Or the turmoil in this country. We need to just keep an eye, somebody coming in. All the turmoil in this country, just as to what is going to happen. Great shepherd of the sheep, watching over his people with a shepherd care. It may be worth, Emily, just going to check who it is, I think. Watching out over us, like I'm sending Emily now to watch out. Who's coming? I wonder who it is. See, watchful care, isn't it? Well, the shepherd, this great shepherd of the sheep, he watches. If I'm watchful, I want to know who's coming. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, he's wanting to know who's coming into your life at every point and purpose in your life. The providence of God. So the peace of God, the power of God, the providence of God. Fourthly, the propitiation provided by God. How is it that the Lord Jesus Christ can do this? Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now again, it's the great theme of the book of Hebrews. The contrast between the repeated Old Testament sacrifices, the blood of bulls and goats, but they could not finally forgive sin. And then the once-for-all sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, where our sins are truly forgiven. So after you've been in heaven 10,000 years, you'll be not more forgiven than you are tonight if you are trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ. His pardon freely offered to you in the gospel. Through faith in the Savior, you are as forgiven now as you will be after 10,000 times 10,000 years in heaven. Your sins have been separated from you as far as the east is from the west. Now you need to know that in living the Christian life. Because in the Christian life we're still battling against sin. And sometimes the battle, the struggle discourages us. And when that pressure comes, we need to remember the blood of the everlasting covenant. Propitiation has been made for sin, for my sin, for your sin, at the cross. God's just anger poured out on his Son that you might be set free. So you're pardoned. You go into the new year as a pardoned sinner. You can go with this confidence, the blood of the everlasting covenant. No sin that cannot be forgiven, cannot be washed away, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you see the practical results of all this. All these things make you complete in every good work to do his will. God is at work in you to make this possible. God's work in you, his work in you, makes your work possible for him. Now again, there's something that the New Testament says all the time. Something that Paul says over and over again. Here he is saying it in Ephesians 2 and verses 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Paul says, you're not saved by good works. You're saved by grace through faith. And that a gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast. But you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works. You're not saved by good works, no. But you are saved for good works. The basis of acceptance before God is not your good works. But the goal of God's salvation in you is that God equips and empowers you for good works. God makes you fruitful, in other words. And again, this is good news for us as we think of a year ahead. God is committed to your sanctification. We are tempted sometimes to give up, to turn back, to stop in that ongoing progress of sanctification, Christ-likeness. But the writer here is saying, God isn't. God doesn't stop doing that work. God is at work in you for his good pleasure. God's work in you makes your good work possible. So everything in that progress is dependent on union with Jesus Christ. Because all this is done, notice what he says, through Jesus Christ. Make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ saves you, but it's by virtue of your union with him that you progress. You grow in grace, sanctification. God works in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. In Hebrews 10 and verse 7, the author of Hebrews quotes what the Lord Jesus quoted when he was preaching in his home synagogue of Nazareth. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. One of the great themes of the life of Jesus Christ. Behold, I have come to do your will. Jesus' motto, if you like, I have come to do the will of him who sent me. The Lord Jesus loved to do his Father's will. Now, the Lord Jesus doesn't just give you that example and that exhortation. He doesn't just say to us tonight, that's what he did. He did his Father's will. Now, we must do the same. No, by the Holy Spirit's power, you are so united to him that he's the one now who equips and empowers you to do the Father's will, to make you more and more love to do the Father's will. It's all done through Jesus Christ. And it's done for his glory, to whom be glory forever and ever. God gets all the praise. God gets all the glory. We don't get the credit because it's God who's at work in us. I talked about that book of Augustine's Confessions. In another one of his prayers, he prays this. Lord, he says, everything good in me is due to you. Everything good in me is due to you. The rest is my fault, he says. Now, again, that helps us to understand what this passage is saying. When we see progress in the Christian life, it's because God is at work in us. We don't get to say, oh, we're the ones, I did so well in 2016. I made such great progress. No, no, he says. It was God at work in you. God equipping, God empowering. And you see, the neat thing in this room tonight, we all have different areas where we make progress, areas where we struggle, temptations that we face, problems and difficulties, all sorts of differences. But the author here is saying, with all those differences, God can equip and empower you. God dealing with you in his grace, in that personal, individual, gracious way. Some of you are working at jobs where it's difficult to do that job with integrity because there are others working around you who don't live by the same standards. How are you going to do it for the year ahead? God equipping, God empowering. Some are in a situation where it's a difficult relationship at home, in a family situation, with friends, with neighbors. How are we going to live as God wants us to live? To do it as God has called us to. God equipping, God empowering. We all struggle in different areas with besetting sins. What undergirds our ability to fight against those sins that so easily beset us? God's equipping, God's empowering. Because you feel sometimes, just like I feel, for the 2016th time, failed again in that area. How could I fail again in that area? And you feel sometimes perhaps God is not at work. The writer here reminds them, sometimes we are tempted to go back and believe things that, in fact, we should have left behind. Ah, this reminder, God at work in you through Jesus Christ. Whatever we're called to do in the Christian life, it's very different for every one of us here tonight. But these things, the peace of God, the power of God, the providence of God, the propitiation provided by God, they all undergird us to live out the Christian life for this year ahead. And there's one last thing then that the writer here calls us to believe by which God equips us. Something to bear, he says in verse 22. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I've written to you in few words. It's a great verse, that verse. Philip Edgecombe Hughes, who has written a commentary in the book of Hebrews, says that this book sounds like a letter read to a friend. If we were to read out loud the book of Hebrews, read it out from beginning to end as it was meant to be read, I don't know how long you think it would take. I think it would take perhaps about an hour. to read it all out loud. Now, of course, that's what the author intended would happen. He would send it to a congregation, a leader would stand up in the congregation and read out the letter, all of it, from beginning to end, to the congregation. So here's this group of believers. They've been listening for about an hour. And some of the things that they've heard have challenged them. Some of the things they've heard have warned them. There are these five warnings in the book of Hebrews. Some of the things have convicted them. Some of the things have baffled them on their first hearing. They wonder, what is he saying there? Some of the things, as they've understood them, have been wonderfully glorious. And now here, as he's coming to the end, he says, they've been listening now for about an hour. And he says, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words. Now, what do we get from it? What I get from it is, he's saying to them, listen to the word of God. You need the word of God. You need to immerse your life in the word of God. For the year ahead, 2017, I will need, you will need, families need, a congregation's need, this immersing of God's word, to listen attentively by the power of the Spirit to the word of God. It's worth bearing with this. The word of God is so important. This word of exhortation. I've been preaching here now for about 4.5 years. And as I look back on the life of a congregation like the congregation here, from the outset, I know you've had preachers who have wanted you to have your lives immersed in the word of God. Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, Thursday night, preaching the word, preaching the word, preaching the word, because the preacher isn't preaching himself. He isn't preaching his own ideas. Here's a great idea I had this last week. No, preaching the word of God. I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation. You need the word of God, he's saying to them. For I've written to you in few words. Bear with this preaching, because this preaching is for your souls, he's saying. This word is for your soul, and it's going to enable you to live out the Christian life for the year ahead. Without the word of God, you'll go astray in 2017. You depart from that word, you will go astray. You need the word of God. So an individual, a congregation, needs to bear with the preaching of the word of God to be enabled to live the Christian life. Words of life. Words that teach us of Jesus Christ, of his glory, of him, that great shepherd of the sheep. And as we are bearing with the word of God, what is happening? Little by little, we are being prepared to live the Christian life. No matter what will come, no matter what will happen in the year ahead. So I'm saying tonight, Christian, believe that God, for this year ahead, will be at work in you. God will equip you and empower you for every good thing to do his will. And linked to that then, bear with the preaching of the word of God. That God designs will help you to be equipped and empowered to do every good thing to do his will. And as we do that, we look then, as he speaks here, the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we praise you. We thank you tonight for our great high priest, the great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can come to you tonight as the God of peace. Once, Lord, we were at enmity against you, enemies in our mind by wicked works. What a wonder and a joy it is tonight to know that now we have peace with God because Jesus Christ has established peace through the blood of the cross. Lord, we thank you for that power that is at work in the believer. That mighty power whereby Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the Spirit of holiness on the third day. The Holy Spirit's power at work in us. So we are not seeking in this year ahead to live in our own strength. We cry out to you, Lord, more of the Spirit's empowering. And we thank you for the promise. It's the Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He will be at work in us. We thank you for that providence of God, that mighty providence which rules over the universe. Kingdoms rise and fall at God's command. And yet that same power in God's guardian care is watching over every child of God, so that the very hairs on our head are numbered. God dealing with us in such personal, individual, careful ways. Oh, the mighty God in his providence. We thank you, Lord, for that watchful care. How we will need it for this year ahead. And Lord, we thank you that we can come to you tonight because the cross, propitiation, atonement made. Without our Savior Jesus Christ, we would still be in our sins. But because he, as the sin bearer on the cross, took the curse, died in our place, we now know the blessing of God in Jesus Christ. The tribes of Adam boast more blessings than their father lost. Adam rebelled. He lost that blessing in Eden. We thank you for the restored fellowship with God we have through Jesus Christ. Once in Christ, in him forever. Thus, the eternal covenant stands. Not one of God's people ever plucked out of the Father's hand. All kept safe and secure, even to glory. So, Lord, help us to bear with the preaching of your word. Make us people of the book, immersed in the word of God. May the word of God dwell in us richly through faith. And may Jesus Christ be honored and glorified. So, Lord, make us complete in every good work to do your will. Through Jesus Christ, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we can do something tonight which I haven't done for a little while, which is we're going to sing a closing hymn, but there, rather than me pronounce a benediction, we're going to sing a benediction, because in our hymn book, you may have noticed that there are some of the benedictions that are given in this book which are meant to be sung. So, first of all, we're going to sing as a closing hymn 728, which is Philip Doddridge's hymn, Father of Peace and God of Love, which is based on this passage we've just read together. But then if we stay standing, the words will come up. It's in the hymn book. If you want to turn to it in the hymn book, it'll be number 84. And there's a little section there, Close of Worship. And John Newton has set the benediction that we've been looking at tonight to words that we can sing in a hymn. Now may he who from the dead brought the shepherd of the sheep. So we'll sing the last hymn, stay standing, and then we'll sing the benediction together. 728 first, Father of Peace.